Happy Wednesday, everybody. We're back with another listener question show here for your midweek, and we are so happy that you are joining us for more Disney talk. It's time for a word from our sponsors to kick off the show, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And check this out. I'm glancing down at my iPhone 7 Plus, and I can see that we're only 84 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2018. I get excited and very, very nervous every time I look down at my iPhone when I get a text, a phone call, or post to social media, because I can see how many days I have to go instantly until that next Walt Disney World vacation. And you can do the same. The great part about this is you can use this trip after trip, customize it for each trip. Right now, mine says Dopey again in 2018. What will yours say? Grab your copy of Days to Go WDW today. There's lots of great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, work with the experts over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1235 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and, of course, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks for checking in. It's time for more of your listener questions. You keep sending them. We'll keep answering them since 2008. That's right. We've been doing this forever, and we love it. So keep sending the questions. You got a great question. So it's a great way to talk about a ton of Disney topics here in about 30 minutes or so. So joining me to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, where she's been working hard lately. What's going on, Ricky?
I have lots of things lately, so it's just been fun, you know, working on updating all the sites and getting all the content out there for all the lovely followers of The Mouse for Less. So, you know, if you don't follow along with The Mouse for Less, I'm going to plug it right now, so go follow along on all of our social sites. I'll wait. Okay, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got Instagram.
You got a pause button. Yeah, you can pause, but come on back. But hey, aren't you going down here recently or very soon for a research trip, right?
I'm so excited. Actually, it is a week from today that I will be leaving. So get ready. Next weekend, that'll be the weekend of the 19th through the 22nd, you will have lots of great Disney content from me on the VR Guest Podcast Facebook page and, you know, my Twitter page too. So,
yay. So hey, boo to you. You're going to the party, right?
I'm so excited. I'm going to see Mickey's Not So Scary, and I haven't been in years, and I'm very excited. So I will be collecting all the candy, and I unfortunately cannot give away the things that are not chocolate to Nikki this year, which makes me very sad. So I missed out.
You know,
she missed out.
You might have to give it to Mr. Yay because apparently you don't want to go through. Are you driving or are you flying?
I'm driving.
Oh, well, get as much as you want. Keep it.
Exactly. I'm keeping it, and I'm giving it to the children who come to my door.
There you go. Recycle it. Spread the Disney magic. And speaking of Disney magic, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going, Pam?
It is going great. And I am headed on kind of a weird vacation at the end of this month that I actually just planned kind of last minute. So this is how spontaneous we are here at the Forrester family household. Is it spontaneity or a lack of organization?
Who knows?
But I just booked an opportunity to go on the beautiful Royal Caribbean ship, Allure of the Seas. We're heading out on a 7-night cruise there during that time. Allure is one of the Oasis class ships. And for those of you who followed me, you know, over the past year or so, you saw as we checked out a few of the Oasis class ships. And those are the ones that have the Central Park area in the middle with the trees and the plants and everything like that. They also have a beautiful boardwalk area that features a carousel and some other really cool things, big aqua theater and things like that. So the Oasis Oasis class ships are some of the most exciting ships that Royal Caribbean has designed. So we're going to go check out some of that. And then also we'll be spending some time at Walt Disney World as well. So doing a little combo vacation. Who says Land Sea has to be Disney Cruise and Walt Disney World? I just manufactured my own Land Sea kind of vacation.
That's right. So.
Right.
That's right.
It's called the old RCCLWDW combo. That's a new acronym.
And it works out. And I will say, too, it's easy to do that now because there are quite a few Oasis. Well, there's one Oasis of the Sea, which is an Oasis class ship, sails also from Port Canaveral. Allure of the Seas sails from Fort Lauderdale. And there's some, you know, that's something to take into consideration. But, hello, those are easy ports to get to from Walt Disney World. So.
All right. Well, let's get to some BOGPLQs, right? Speaking of acronyms, right now, it's time. Right. Let's do it. Michael's up first. He says, hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, my friend and I are coming down to Florida for the 12th, from the 12th to the 14th. I guess it's for the 12 to 14 mile Spartan Beast OCR race the weekend of December 9th. I have no idea what that is, but that sounds fun.
We have some more acronyms.
Yeah, I know. It's another acronym, and it says 12 to 14 mile. I mean, do you get to decide, like, I'm just going to go 12, or I'm going to go, I don't know. That's pretty, Michael, let us know.
12 sounds good.
I know what I'm saying. You know, the shorter distance always sounds better at the time. Anyway, he says, the race is midway between Tampa and Orlando, but we decided to stay at Best Western in Disney Springs. And the title is a non-park weekend. We don't plan on going to the parks. I promised the kids I wouldn't go to Disney without them again. Just don't tell. But we'd like to add a Disney feel to our long weekend. We have the day prior to our race, the evening after, and a full recovery day on Sunday available. We're thinking about a monorail boat beer / appetizer lounge crawl in a similar evening at Disney Springs. What are some other great non-park things for us to do? Resort tours? Something obvious that I'm missing? We're both in our mid to late 40s and Disney veterans, and we were down there recently with our wives for the Dark Side Challenge. Thanks a lot, Michael. All right, so the one thing I always go to is, mini golf, putt-putt, but I would say skip that because you're doing a big race. You know, you want to eat and drink and have fun in that kind of way with your buddy there. I do love the monorail kind of bar crawl. You know, they go to the lounges, go to Territory Lounge, go to Trader Sam's, go to what's one over at Contemporary? Outer Rim. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's a good one because you've obviously run. That'd be the good one for, I think, Sunday after the race, because they always say, and I don't drink beer, but people always swear that beer's good for recovery. They give it to you after races. Almost every race is usually a beer or something.
Sugar content.
Yeah, something. So. Chocolate milk is what I go with. But anyway, so Ricky, what would you say? You know, they got a chance to kind of get off their feet. They told the kids they're not going to the parks. You know, what the kids don't know won't hurt them. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was actually going to suggest to do the tours of Jico and Boma that they have over at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yep, I've done that twice. That's a good one. About 45 minutes.
I think that those are great little things that you can do and kind of get away. And again, it allows you to see the lodge too, so you can explore the lodge itself and maybe grab a meal as well, maybe at Sanaa or something like that. But then you also get to see the culinary tours that they have for Chico and Boma. So,
I think that's a great idea. Here's what you do. That's a great idea, Ricky. You plan an ADR for Sanaa. And then you do that tour, and basically you're getting a little snack from Boma, you get a snack from Chico, and you have a meal at Sanaa. It's like the triple crown of the Animal Kingdom. Nice.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Yeah.
Feel free to use that, listeners. Feel free to use that. Pam, else? What else can we do for Michael here?
Well, so I think you mentioned that they were staying at the Best Western in Disney Springs. And if so, I'm hoping that they're going to be, within the area of that Disney Springs area. And I think there's just so much that's incredible to do there. I mean, how about, that whole aqua car thing? I know that that's not the name of it. I keep calling it the aqua car. There is actually a name for this, but I think when I say aqua car, I think people know what I mean, right?
It's a car
that drives into the water.
Well, no, an aqua car would live in the water, but it's an amphicar because it's amphibious.
Oh, right,
it does both. Yeah, exactly. It's an amphibious vehicle.
I don't know why I block on that. You know, when you have a word that you like consistently get wrong.
Yes.
Wrong, so you take time to like look it up and be like, if a car, I will remember that. Nope, don't. Aquacar. So anyways, put that in our BOGP dictionary.
There you go.
This point forward. But anyways, I think that would be a really cool event. Of course, I'm going to recommend one of my favorite spots, and that is the Boathouse. But you have a plethora of great restaurants from which to choose, including Morimoto's. And of course, I don't even want to say this one because I don't want it to be any harder to get there. Okay. So I'm not going to say it. It might be something like Homecoming, but I'm not going to say what it is. There's a big full long name for it. I'm not going to say it, but anyways, that. You also have, though, things like Blaze Pizza and Deluxe Burger if you're looking for, you know, some counter service or quick service locations. And, of course, Earl of Sandwich is always a great one, if not Wolfgang Puck Express if you're looking for quick service locations. But I think there's just some generally cool stuff to do in Disney Springs. I mean, I get that it's shopping, and that may not be your cup of tea, but there's, you know, there's some kind of cool shops in there that you really can't see at your local mall. Although I have heard many folks say it looks like their mall, and I have to say, congratulations, you have a very, very nice mall, because we have a nice mall and it's not as nice as the Disney Springs area. So put that on your list of things to do.
And don't discount Jock Lindsay's. I think that's a good place for a celebratory drink while you're down there. Fun little place.
Sure.
All right, next question is from Emily. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've been listening for about 4 months now and love your show. It is a bit of weekly Disney magic for me all the way out here in Texas, so thank you. I'm planning a trip to Disney World the Monday through Saturday after Thanksgiving this year for a group of 10. It'll be my husband, myself, our girls who are 5 and 2, my sister and her husband, my dad and stepmom, my mom and stepdad. The last time any of us went was 20 plus years ago. I was 12 and got lost in the body pavilion. So we are somewhat in the dark. I guess, so what's that? Yeah, the wonders of life. Yeah, people still get lost there, I think.
I think so. They end up, you know, don't go behind anything. Yeah.
They shrink you down.
Kick you out.
You know what?
At this point.
Maybe Emily got shrunk down to the size of a cell and she's still that size right now down in Texas.
I hope she's a little bigger than that now. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. We are staying at the beach club with my husband, and I are surprising everyone by booking a VIP tour guide for Tuesday and Thursday. Whew, nice. I have just a couple of questions that I'm hoping you guys could help with. One, we arrive Monday a bit before lunch. We're hoping to go to Hollywood Studios for the second half of the day. Currently, this is the only time I have scheduled to be there. With all the changes and closures in Hollywood Studios, is half a day enough for this park until everything starts opening up next year? I really only see maybe half a dozen things that my group would really want to do. All right, Pam, give them some advice. We're thinking of only a half a day for the entire trip. But the studios, again, they have kids that are 5 and 2, mostly adults. What say you to a half a day only at the studios?
If your half a day includes the evening, then I would say you may be able to do it. My strategy for doing this would be, of course, to be at opening at a different park and go ahead and ride some attractions there. And then I would save my FastPass Plus to arrive sort of in the later afternoon for Hollywood Studios to make sure that I can take advantage of things like Toy Story Mania. I want to make sure that I get a FastPass Plus for that and a few other things. But I think it's important to at least visit Hollywood Studios in the evening, because you're either going to get to see the Star Wars fireworks or, of course, Jingle Bell, Jingle Jam, Bam, if you're going to be there during that time of year. Or for folks who aren't visiting that time of year, get to do Fantasmic as well. And lots of people really enjoy Fantasmic. I think I have heard that from more people in the last couple of years that Fantasmic is one of their favorite nighttime shows. And I was really surprised by that, I guess, because it's my least favorite nighttime show. But people love it. And so I want to encourage people to set aside time for it. I really enjoy the Star Wars fireworks and Jingle Bell, Jingle Jam, Jingle Bam. Golly, there's like tongue twisters today, but I know I enjoy both of those. But I think that Hollywood Studios is actually one of my favorite parks to visit at night. It has a lot of neon because, of course, it takes us back to that bygone area of Hollywood. And I think it's really cool just to see it from that point. But I think there's still a lot of really great attractions there. In addition, there's some great shows that are there and a lot of interactions with Star Wars characters and things like that. So that's something that you're not going to want to miss too. So I really think that that Hollywood Studios is still a park worth visiting. I know that that's a challenge for so many people, but if I had my druthers and had to choose between visiting it in the morning or in the afternoon, evening, I would always choose afternoon, evening.
I agree. I would totally do it in the evening if I had to do like either the first half of the day or the second half of the day. It'd always be the second half of the day, at least at this point. Ricky, what about the new area that opened up this past week at the studios? Is that something that might add time to your Disney Hollywood Studios day?
You know, I think it possibly could. It depends on what kind of a day you're looking to have at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I feel like Disney is opening up more of these spaces that, yes, they're lounges, but they're just places to kind of go and hang out, which I feel like if you're kind of like a go person on a vacation, you know, you might not want to spend a longer period of time just hanging out at a lounge type area. But, you know, it really does appeal to me, the fact that they're trying to get you to relax a little bit while you're on vacation. And one way to do that is by stopping and... I know,
what?
Right?
What's up?
And, you know, stopping and having a drink here at the Baseline Tap House. Or, you know, you've got some snacks. I think that... I would like to see maybe an additional snack or two added to their options, but they only have three right now. One's a pretzel with cheese, which, I mean, you can never go wrong with that, by the way. And then they've got a meat and cheese, you know, bar thing that they give you, or there's the, you know, some salted nuts or something, some sort of almonds
beer.
Or something.
Between that and beer, it sounds like you have all your major
foods. Yeah, that's true.
Pretzels, cheese, beer, nuts, meat, cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all in there, Ricky. Represented.
Feel like maybe like one or two additional things would be nice. But I will say, you know, it's kind of interesting because they definitely seem to have tested this menu before when it was the writer's stop. So, at the end of the writer's stop's life, they were offering the same type of food. So, yeah. So anyway, I think if you're looking for a relaxing experience, a place to just kind of get away and, you know, sit and stop for a breath or something like that, I think the Baseline Tap House is the place to go.
That's basically the O'Gill's menu, it sounds like, on the Disney Fantasy.
Yeah, true.
That's basically what you get. You get beer and those salty things. Okay, she has the last question. Pam, this one will probably be for you. It says, have you guys ever had a VIP guide? We are having the guide take us to Magic Kingdom on Tuesday and then Animal Kingdom on Thursday. I'm hoping this helps with the stress of traveling with such a large group and possibly gives us the ability to do more of the parks. Any ideas on what to expect? Emily's down in Plano, Texas, 1,222 miles away from Pam. There you go. So now you know. So now, Pam, I have never had a VIP tour guide. Obviously, I'm just a regular dude. But I mean, at the media events, I will say that they give you a handler. I think it's just because they don't want you to cause a ruckus, especially considering, you know, you're there and you get to see some cool stuff and they want to keep, you know, I think if they give you a handler, they're allowed to beat you if you do something wrong. I think that's actually what that is.
But
I mean,
you down.
Exactly. But I mean, trust me, I've been in awe because, you know, they have on the plaid and they got, you know, they take good care of you. They take you around and, you know, give you a, you know, it started raining the one time and they gave me an umbrella. I was like, they handed me one.
I'm Mike Rahman and I get to go to fancy events.
I only got to do it a couple times. And trust me, I was living the dream. I didn't take a second for granted. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. But I've never had the VIP guide like for a group. So, Pam, what might Emily, what would be some reasonable expectations for her days at the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom when she has those 2 days with the VIP guide?
So it really depends on the type of VIP guide that you have made reservations for. Did you do one that's private just for your group, or are you hanging around, you know, with a VIP tour guide who's taking you and other people in your group? And there is a difference in that. So see what that involves. I mean, what I'm talking about is there are VIP group tours that are available, like one designed specifically for those who enjoy thrill rides, or, you know, there's other kind of tours like that. But anyways, if you have a private guide, they will be able to assist you with getting you into many of the attractions at Walt Disney World in regards of using, you'll enter the fast pass line in most cases. It's a really cool experience. It is pricey, but if you have a short period of time or a large group, it's a really cool thing to do, and they can really get you into most of the attractions through the fast pass line without a problem. I will tell you, when we were on one of our VIP tour guides, and the tour guide looked at me and she's like, okay, so what do you want to do today? Where do you want me to, you know, backdoor you into? And I said, La Cava.
So, and did they?
They did. They
yes.
Called ahead. They called ahead and backdoored us in and had
that
a table waiting for us.
So, tour guide. Hello.
So anyways, I'm like, I see the advantage of this. No, seriously. But they absolutely can do things like that. They typically, if it's just a for you and your group, they may be able to assist with transportation, you know, things like that. But you said you have them per day at one specific or at a couple specific theme parks. So I think really they're just able to, they know where everything is. They'll be able to assist. They'll make things go faster and maybe be a good, you know, buffer between you and the rest of your group. You know, even if there are your friends and family, I mean, who doesn't need that? So just enjoy. I mean, the VIP tour guides are, they have a very specific job to fulfill and they do a great job of it. They're extremely knowledgeable cast members, really friendly. We've always had a fantastic time with ours. So enjoy.
All right, so here's the question, because there's always been this rumor, this myth that I've heard online and heard just throughout, that if the guest is drinking, like has a drink, orders a drink, like that the guide won't let you just be there by yourself. I mean, if you're going to La Cava, are they just sitting there watching you down the old shot train, or how's that going?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, that could never end well.
We just called ours when we were done.
Yeah, that's a good policy, Disney. I appreciate that.
There is a policy that sometimes Disney sends to their larger group of cast members about drinking and having a name badge on. And I believe that is a no-no, but I don't have any insider knowledge on this.
I don't either. So. I just wonder if I've read that somewhere. Anyway, let's pick up the pace here. All right, Megan's up next. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm going to Disney World over Halloween, and it says yay. This will be my sixth trip to Disney World, but my first solo trip. To continue my string of firsts this trip, I have a character breakfast at 11:30 scheduled at 1900 Park Fair on the day I'm going to the Halloween party. I've never been to the Grand Floridian before, so I want to make the most of my breakfast. Since I'll be solo and won't have Memory Maker, I wanted to see if you could give me some advice about pictures with characters during my meal. It's been years since I've done a character meal, so I don't really remember if there are PhotoPass photographers with each character or not, but I would like to have pictures on my own device whenever possible that aren't all selfies. Well, I can't help it. I take all selfies. So sorry, Megan. Do you have any advice for getting some awesome pictures even without that service? Thanks, Megan's an Arkansan, I guess, living in Louisiana. And she says, I don't have a clue how far I am from Pam, so I'll switch it up. I'm 11 hours from St. Louis, a torturous distance for a Cardinals fan. All right, Megan, I like it. You're a Cardinals fan. Tough year this year. All right. So, Ricky, you're really good with the pictures. So tell her about, she's doing a solo character meal at 1900 Park Fair. She will have no problem even without Memory Maker. Just throw that camera out to the cast member. I think it'd be set, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that there's always a cast member with the character. It's been a little bit since I've done a character meal, but the last one I did, I was with Brian and it was at Chef Mickey's, and there, I don't remember there ever being a character handler with the character, because I had to take pictures of, like, I couldn't do a picture of Brian and I with the character. I had to do one of Brian and then he had to do one of me because there was nobody there. You might want to become friends with your neighbor at the table next to you.
That could never hurt, really, honestly.
If there's not a character handler, because, you know, I don't know. And actually, they wouldn't. The only way you would get PhotoPass photos from the character meals would be if they had, I mean, I know that, it's 1900 Park Fair, right? So I know that they have a photo station outside the front, but there's not a character that stands out there anyway. So you wouldn't get those PhotoPass photos anyway you know, it's not like that you get PhotoPass photos with the character meal in the first place, except for that one standard shot that they would do outside of the meal. So, yeah, you're either going to have to do selfies or ask a table next to you. I think that's what you're going to have to do.
Or what I do is just I tell my server up front, because, you know what, servers are working hard for a bigger tip, you know, and I give an extra $10 tip or something, you know, if they take the pictures. I mean, because you're taking their time and making them work harder.
They can't be busy doing other things, too. I mean,
well, they can, but I mean, if you tell them you're solo, you're the character, they're going to work with you, because they're going to expect a, you know, bigger gratuity, which would be, I would give them.
I would absolutely give them a bigger gratuity if I was asking them to take my picture for me, so yeah.
I don't know, Pam, any suggestions? Because it sounds like she's, you know, she's going to have a great time, and that's a great meal, and a lot of great pictures to be had, and I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. I would, you know, agree. I would kind of say to maybe my neighbors, hey, I'll take some pictures of you if you'll do the same for me. I think most people are pretty amenable to that. You know, I've really only had a few people run away with my phone or camera.
One of them was me, you know. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Ricky is shifty, so
I am.
But that works well, and then you kind of set up, you know, something that's mutually beneficial. But look, who at Disney will not take your photo if you ask them? So just go ahead and ask whoever happens to be around. And that'll be great. But also, I think plan on taking a few selfies, because you never know what it's going to be like. I think that those are kind of fun, and it's really a fun memory, too.
They are. Mm-hmm. I love those selfies with the characters, because characters get into it, I think. It makes it fun. All right. Danny has the next question. It says, visiting during a Run Disney event. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Thank you for responding to my question a few weeks ago regarding choosing between a cheerleading weekend or a Run Disney weekend for our next Disney vacation. We took your advice and booked a trip during the week of Star Wars Half Marathon. Oh, man, I hope this works out. When I hear people say that. I know, seriously.
Now the pressure is on.
No, I'm sweating. Yeah. Our 180-day mark is approaching, so I'm starting to plan our ADRs and have a follow-up question. In the past, we arrived for morning extra magic hours or rope drop, followed by an afternoon break, and then hopping to a different park for the remainder of the day. That's exactly what I do. Is this still a good strategy, or will the parks be busier than normal at rope drop, since the runners and fans are already out for the early morning race events? Any insight or advice you could share for someone visiting during a race weekend but not participating in the race events would be very much appreciated. Thanks again for all the help and all the hard work you guys do with the podcast. Danny. I think it's a great question, though, because I think it affects many, many people. And this could affect people that are listening today that just have no idea that they're going to be there during a race weekend, because the majority of guests don't know. You just kind of show up and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people in sneakers and short shorts running around this place. What's going on, man?
Well, hopefully not too short.
I'm just saying, man. That happened to me that like marathon weekend, like back in, I think it was like back in 2004, 2005. We were one of our very first trips. We just went down for, you know, for Christmas or for New Year's, and we stayed like on the back end because we had a long, you know, longer time until school went back into session. And we noticed like all these fit people, like with sneakers, and like everybody was like exercising in the morning. We're like, what is this? And it was actually marathon weekend, so I'm sure some people have run into that. So what do you say to this, Pam, as far as scheduling? And, you know, I think you're fine going early in the morning, because most of the race is kind of, you really, the runners can't get into the parks usually until about, you know, 9:30 or 10. They're not going to be at rope drop, because the races don't finish that quickly. You got to go. Hopefully they go back and shower and change.
I hope they shower. Please take a shower before you go into the park.
But the thing I've noticed, and, you know, I do a lot of these events, is that, you know, I will shower, I will change, but then the first thing on my mind is like, I want to get somewhere and get some breakfast. And sometimes it's in a park, you know? So many times I'll go to a park, but it won't be to ride rides. It'll be to get pictures with my medals and take, you know, eat a meal. So Pam, what do you say? You're a veteran of many of these weekends.
Yes, and I think that you're fine getting their rope drop. First of all, it really is going to take everyone time to move around by the time they finish running, and then, like you said, Mike, a shower, eat, and get to the parks. And I don't see really a bump in attendance until the late morning, early afternoon. And then there are, you know, runners may be around for a little bit, and then in the evening, they're gone again because they're back in bed. So it actually is not a bad time to visit during that time. So I don't think you'll experience much of, you know, I don't think that will impact you very much. I think the one thing that you can watch is, if you can fit in your Epcot days on days where there is not a race ending at Epcot, I think that it's beneficial to do that. Because if any of the parks see a little bump from the runners attending shortly after opening, it would be Epcot in that space. So
good advice. All right. Have a good time. And we'll hope the trip works out now. It will. All right. Carrie's got the next question. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Thank you for all the great advice on your shows. It is always a highlight of my commute and leads to great discussions at the dinner table. Well, hello, everybody having dinner tonight. We are headed to the world at the end of April 2018. We'll be there for 7 nights. Traveling with me is my 2.5-year-old daughter, husband, and joining us for parts of the trip will be some other family members. I have a few questions. First question. We arrive on Saturday at 2:45 in the afternoon and we'll be headed to Port Orleans Riverside. Originally, I wanted to do some pool time, then Ohana for dinner and watch the water pageant. Now I feel that wouldn't give us enough time to get to the Polynesian, and I'm concerned about adding stress since it's our daughter's first time flying. Do you have any fun suggestions for what to do with a toddler on her first evening at Disney? All right, Pam, so you've said this many, many times, and I really do agree with you. I don't like to have an ADR the day of arrival, that evening for dinner, because too many things can happen, like you say, with a delayed flight, or, you know, you get there and you're tired, and the last thing you want to do is hit the ground running and rush, rush, rush. I would say with this kid, you're staying at Riverside, and you guys can, you know, chime in here too, just pool time that night, and then when you get hungry, take a boat to Disney Springs. You got the boat service. Find something to eat there, whether it's Blaze Pizza or Deluxe Burger. If you want to sit down at a restaurant, you know, there may be some, you know, restaurants where you can just walk up. Maybe not. Maybe you could schedule something, you know, maybe later. But I would just land, do pool time, let everybody take a nap if the girl's tired. Pam, what are your thoughts on that first night?
Yeah, I agree with you. And one of the reasons is when you're flying in, first of all, a traveling day is just not a fun day. It just isn't. Come on, let's all admit it. It is not fun. And if you're traveling by air, there are many, many things that can delay your flight. It can be weather. It could be mechanical. It could be a storm on the other side of the country that doesn't impact you, but impacts your inbound flight or just air traveler in general. So there's so many things that you can't predict. I typically advise guests not to have something that they're locked into that evening in terms of dining. But what I may do in your case is, here's a couple of things. First of all, when I have landed in Orlando, sometimes I will make a dinner reservation for that night because I know I'm there, right? I know I'm going to get there within a reasonable amount of time, and I feel fairly safe doing that. Another thing we often do is exactly what Mike suggested, is that we try to do counter service somewhere that night. And because you're at Port Orleans Riverside, I'm going to give a little shout out to Boat Rights because we ate there again recently and had another really good experience there. They have some unique offerings in terms of food. It was just kind of, it's right there at your resort. Now, I will say, sometimes they're a little kooky at Boat Rights about seating. Like, you'll look around and like, 65% of the restaurants open, and they'll be like, we have no seats. So maybe it might work out better to not only look on the app, but also go ahead and visit the desk right there at the restaurant. And we'll just, you know, just see. But if not, not a big deal. Like Mike suggested, you can take the boat over to Disney Springs. And I think that in itself seems like a fun activity. So you can do that and try one of the table service or the counter service locations there and just enjoy the Springs. You'll have a great time.
And especially for a 2.5-year-old kid, I think that, you know, the boat ride to Disney Springs is an attraction in itself. It's kind of an introduction to some of the experiences you'll be having throughout the week. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, with between time at the pool, which Riverside has an awesome pool, you know, that and just walking around by the river, seeing the boats going up and down, riding a boat, that's a great first night. And I know you have Ohana, it sounds like, which is one of the, you know, you're not going to do Pam strategy and get Ohana when you land at MCO. That isn't going to happen. But that's where you just got to kind of shuffle the cards. I think it's just going to add a layer of stress trying to hit a certain time, trying to make it somewhere by some time where if the evening's open and you eat when you're hungry, you know, or, you know, you want flexibility that first night, I think. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Second question, Ricky, here we go. Should we plan on 7 park days or 6 with a non-park day in the middle of the trip? Our daughter is used to taking naps in the afternoon, so we're planning to take a midday break each day. So knowing that our days will be split in half, would it be better to just take a morning or evening off or a couple days or put in a full day off from the parks? Okay, so basically what she's asking, Ricky, is, I didn't read that very well. Should they have a full off day in the middle of the trip? They're there for a week.
I mean, let's put it this way. It's not going to cost a whole heck of a lot to add that extra day on at that point. And I personally, you know, I would rather have as many days in the parks as I possibly can have. I might do like spend the morning, afternoon, you know, like not doing park stuff and then go in the evening that day and then, you know, hit up the fireworks or, you know, do some of the attractions in the evening, that kind of thing. That might be what I would do, if they're looking to kind of, you know, split it down the middle. So, I say get the 7-day park ticket.
Yeah, there's and such then, a small yeah. difference in the price.
It's negligible, yeah, isn't it? It's like a couple bucks.
Yeah, it's not much at all.
I wish they'd give me that, you know, like 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th day price on the 1st and 2nd and 3rd day. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, no, I don't want to pay for days 1 through 4. No, I only want to buy 5 through 10. Can we work
right.
that out? You know,
right. just, can we work this out somehow?
Come on, Disney. Yeah. Anyway, she says, lastly, I would like to do something special for my husband. He always works hard and is always helping others out. I know the whole trip will be great and allow for us to have fun as a family, but I would like to surprise him with something special. Do you have any ideas? Thanks so much for your advice. Carrie's up in New Hampshire. All right. So, you know, here's what I was thinking, because, you know, I'm a dad and a husband, and my greatest gifts that I get are experiences. First of all, they're experiences, not gifts. I love travel and I love tours and I love experiences, you know, and things like that. But I really enjoy the ones where I get to involve my family as well. So I was thinking something like a fireworks cruise, because your family's there, you're out on the water. It does feel very VIP. It's pretty affordable. Everybody's in on the action, and it's just something you'll talk about for years and years. So Pam, offer something else up besides a fireworks cruise for Carrie.
Oh gosh, this is such a hard one, but it really depends, you know, on his likes and dislikes. But if it's something that you want him to be able to do by himself, maybe that steam trains tour would be something that would be really cool. If it's something that you want to do as a family, then I would consider, you know, sometimes like a really special meal, something that you all, you know, that maybe he wouldn't typically choose for himself or choose to do on a family vacation. But I think that Disney World is one of those places where you can have a really great meal and not be freaked out about your child behaving like a child. Because if you look around the restaurant, there's going to be a whole bunch of other children out there too. And chances are those people's kids will be like bad. Much well, better.
At least you might be able to find one that's worse than yours. That's the goal. Yeah,
that's right. So, I mean, you know, but it's not something where you have to be like all hush hush or proper or things like that. They, you know, every restaurant has some menus to color and some, you know, activities like that. So I think that that makes for a magical memory. I mean, looking back on some of our stays, there are some fantastic memories that we have had that have occurred at a Walt Disney World restaurant, and we really enjoyed that.
All right, Ricky, real quick, give one more suggestion. This way she's got three things to pick from, and then she can go schedule her fireworks cruise.
So I'm going to throw in two. I'm kidding. Cheating. I know, cheating. Okay, so the first one is, I'm going to say maybe consider like a dessert party, especially like the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular dessert party. I think that might be a good idea. Again, something you could get the whole family involved in, but, you know, you also get a special spot for, you know, the show. Or the other option, and this is something that's like totally off the wall, and I got it from, actually, we have a good Father's Day page on the Mouse for Less. So if you're ever looking for ideas of things to do for dad, this is a great place to go. And it's actually, they do surfing lessons at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And like, it's totally something that you probably wouldn't think, A, you wouldn't think that they do. B, you know, I mean, how cool would it be to kind of learn how to surf? I don't know. Like, I just think that that would be something totally bizarre and unique and different. And so if you're looking for different, I think that that's absolutely right there. Like, just Typhoon Lagoon private surf lessons.
You know, and I've heard actually they took the sharks from Shark Reef when they filled that in and they throw them into the wave pool during that just to give it a little layer of realism. I've heard that, you know, so be careful.
terrible.
Just a rumor. I don't know if it's true, so we'll have to go to. You have to check that out, Ricky, on your trip here.
I think I'm pretty sure that I know that that's not true. So.
Yeah. No, that was the other part. Never mind. Okay,
it just adds another level of excitement to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It keeps you. You definitely want to stay on that board. I'm saying it's incentive to surf well.
Don't
is what that is.
Fall off.
That's right.
See that dorsal fin? Don't fall off your board. All right. Next, actually, last question of the day. We're heading up to Iowa with Cole. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My question is about getting PhotoPass downloads when upgrading to an annual pass once you get to Disney World. I'm going to Disney World over Thanksgiving, and upon arriving, I'll be upgrading my Magic Your Way ticket to an annual pass. My question is, since I will be upgrading to the annual pass on our first park day, will I be able to download the PhotoPass photos right away and not have to pay for them separately? I've gotten the Memory Maker before and always purchase it more than 3 days before a trip so that all my photos will be included. I've never had an annual pass before, so I just want to make sure that we'll be able to get all of our photos from our trip. We are only staying for 4 days, and it is our first Christmas trip, so I don't want to miss out on our photos. If it still does take 3 days to get them when you upgrade to an annual pass, will I be okay? Thanks in advance, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Cole from Iowa. All right, Pam, so tell them about that. We've had this question quite a few times. When you take that Magic Your Way ticket, you pay the difference, you upgrade to an annual pass, you then get... Memory Makers included as part of your annual pass, at least it is right now, and hopefully that stays true for the time moving forward for a long time. So Cole really doesn't have anything to worry about here.
Nope. As soon as you upgrade to that annual pass, you will typically see Memory Maker happen right then. The system is good enough that it knows right like that you've upgraded. So that's one of the few instances where Disney's system works super duper quickly, and we like to hear that. So yeah, you'll be fine.
Yep, pictures are there, they're watermarked, and then the watermarks go away and you're set. So
yep,
that's how it works. All right, so let's close this one out. Thanks so much for the great questions today. We really appreciate it. Mike at brguestpodcast.com. If you have something you would like to add to the show, send that in today. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, you have 30 to 45 seconds to let us know what we're reading about on Theme Park News Disney Edition today.
Okay, so the Fairy Tale Fireworks, a sparkling dessert cruise, will be returning aboard the iconic double-stack ferry boat, the General Joe Potter. On select nights in December and January, guests who sign up for the Fairy Tale Fireworks cruise will be able to enjoy specialty desserts and beverages and conclude the evening with a viewing of the evening's fireworks. The Fairy Tale Fireworks Dessert Sparkling Cruise will take place on Fridays and Sundays from December 1st through January 28th. And reservations are now open and can be made by calling 407-WDW-DINE. Cost is $99 for adults and $69 for kids per person, includes tax and gratuity.
Wow.
Is that 30 seconds?
Good stuff.
Wow.
That sounds like a lot of fun, too. It sounds like a fun event. Pricey, but fun. Sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, pricey. And also, you know, it was interesting because somebody, I did this in Mouse Bites on the BR Guest page. And, somebody asked about, well, what about seeing the projections? And I was like, yeah, I don't think you'll be able to see the projections very well from here. So just keep that in mind. And part of the time, it will actually be Holiday Wishes, not Happily Ever After. So that's something to keep in mind, too. So
good deal. All right. Don't forget, you can get other great news each and every day. Actually, multiple times a day, it's updated. So Theme Park News Disney Edition, it's a free app for your iOS device. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're heading down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, or sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, check out the great agents over at the Magic for Less. They're going to make your trip planning fun and enjoyable, which it always should be. And of course, get you the best deal possible. And speaking of deals, there's a great Gift of Magic offer for early 2018 out there right now for Walt Disney World, as well as Play, Stay, and Dine. And isn't that what life's all about? It's about playing, staying, and dining. So check it out over at the Magic for Less. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Don't forget, please do support the show when you purchase things on Amazon. When you do that online shopping, please use our link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, and that gives us a little kickback. Costs you nothing extra. It's exactly the same price for you. You'll get all your Prime benefits as well, and it really does help support the show. So again, this week when you're shopping, please go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon and shop to your heart's desire. Don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got an awesome Facebook page over at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday and having a fun discussion on trip planning. Is it too much? Because I know we're speaking to some folks that, man, they got their Excel sheets out right now. They're like, dude, don't make me color code this like a cyan or like another shade of blue. And then some people are like, Pam, she doesn't know where she's staying half time. She goes, she gets on the airplane hoping there's a hotel room down there. I mean, it's crazy. So I'm telling you, you probably fall somewhere in between, I'm guessing. But we're going to have a fun discussion about this because Ricky had a conversation with a coworker earlier this week. And brought up some good points. So we want to talk to you about it and have a discussion over the weekend as we have a Friday show and then continue it on the Facebook page. So until then, we're going to cut you loose and let you get back to work. So thanks for checking in. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome midweek. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.